You're listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. I'm Art Gray. Today's guest is Barbara Lane, Ph.D. Dr. Barbara Lane, a clinical hypnotherapist and author of 16 Clues to Your Past Lives, A Guide to Discovering Who You Were, was trained by some of the foremost regression therapists and is a member of the International Association for Regression Research and Therapy. Attendees praise her guided group hypnosis sessions. Now, how did you get into hypnosis?
Well, Art, I've been interested in the power of the mind for many, many years, and motivation, why we do what we do. I've always been fascinated by that. And, of course, coming across Edgar Cayce and talking about mind is the creator, mind is the builder, mind creates matter, mind creates us all. And actually, mind is the spark of God, really, when you think about it, when you truly, truly think about it. And so being, finding this so very, very fascinating, and it's just an, you know, plumbing the depths of our subconscious is infinitely fascinating. They say we only use about 10% of our mind, of our then that means our subconscious mind, we're actually using it all the time, but actually the subconscious mind is controlling us rather than us controlling our subconscious mind.
Wow.
So realizing that, yeah, I thought it was totally fascinating. And the way to make these changes is to go into the subconscious mind and make them. Because, you know, ever since, at the time we're 0 years old and 1 year old, so many of our patterns are already formed. You know, our parents, indoctrinate us with thoughts and beliefs and the society. And so these immediately go into our subconscious mind. And, you know, once something is in our subconscious mind, we exercise no further control over it. Once we've decided it's true, and if we're 1 year old and our parents tell us something, then we pretty much think that's true.
Oh, yes.
And it could even be something, sadly, something negative. If a parent said, oh, you're stupid or you're dumb or you'll never amount to anything. You know, we actually buy into that, sadly. And so it's kind of the case of if you think you can, you can't, and if you think you can, if you think you can, you can, and if you think you can, you can't, you can. And mm-hmm. So to go into the subconscious and make the changes, that's where we really have the power.
So then what is hypnosis and why is it so powerful?
Well, hypnosis is the modality for going into the subconscious mind and making those changes, getting rid of the old patterns that we no longer want, the ones that block us from having what we really want in life, the patterns that we repeat over and over, like, you know, eating too much or smoking or thinking negatively or thinking we can't do something. You know, it just goes on and on. You know, it's practically infinite. And going in just by relaxing the mind and tapping into the subconscious more and actually putting in the positives, what we do want. And that's how we can truly make the changes.
Well, what can you use hypnosis for?
It is, you know, these days it's not just what we can use it for, but it's almost, it's incredible to say, but I'm almost beginning to think it's almost infinite. You know, in the old days, it was kind of the bread and butter issues for hypnotherapists were smoking and weight loss, you know, and then drugs and, mm-hmm. and alcohol, things like that. But now it just has branched out into so many other things. It's amazing, but I do a lot of learning enhancement and memory and testing. In fact, I just I made a CD for my niece and my nephew who were studying for the bar. And they listened to the CD and they both passed the bar.
Hmm.
So I've got a lot of, in fact, I work at the Center for Integrative Medicine in Washington, D.C., and we're connected with George Washington University Hospital. We work with the med students, and I'm really, really excited to do that because, you know, they are our future. They are the doctors of the future, and for them to, you know what hypnosis is and believe in it. And I go over there and I help them with their test taking.
Mm-hmm.
So they really love it. I work on them for test taking.
Wow.
It's good for performance coaching. It's good for self-esteem. It's wonderful for self-esteem, for confidence, for motivation. It's great for goal setting. And, of course, that's what I'm going to be doing at ARE coming up in the conference soon. It's great for career advancement. For communications and relationships. In fact, I've been a corporate trainer, and my only hope or wish was that I could have used hypnosis because you can make the changes so much quicker. It's just amazing. And it's good for creativity enhancement. And they did a study having to do with psychotherapy. And this is only one study, granted, but they did a study of 600 sessions of psychoanalysis. They found that there was 38% recovery from those conditions. And then they used behavior modification, and they found 72% recovery after only 22 sessions versus the 600 sessions of psychoanalysis. Well, then they did hypnosis. And they found that there was a 93% success rate after only 6 sessions. And the reason, it's shortcut therapy. The way I look at it is shortcut therapy. Mm-hmm. Although talk therapy is very important and everything. But what you do in hypnotherapy is just you talk about the issue just to identify it and then to realize what you want changed. And then you create affirmations. You create the positive, what it is you actually want. And then you put it into the subconscious mind, and that's where the changes really take hold. They say it takes about 21 days to break those patterns. So what I usually do is I make a CD for my clients. And what I do in many of my classes that I teach for ARE is teach people how to do this for themselves, to not only A, identify the problem, B, what it is you do want, and C, how do you tap into the subconscious mind so that you can do this for yourself. So, as I said, I make a CD for my clients and then ask them to listen for a minimum of 21 days because it helps to break those patterns. So psychotherapy is another case of what it does. It's also, since I've been at Center for Integrative Medicine, a lot of people come there with physical illnesses and challenges and things that they've had trouble probably fixing with mainstream medicine. And then, of course, we're a complementary system at Center for Integrative Medicine. And I found that in addition to the psychological side of hypnosis and the behavior modification side, telling people or suggesting that they're going to love exercise, jump out of bed and put their exercise clothes on and run mm-hmm. out the door, and they crave exercise and that they crave those healthy, nourishing foods instead of the chocolate and things like that, chocolate and popcorn. Mm-hmm. And so then I had much more experience working with the body and hypnosis. And they have proven that thought changes body chemistry. So what we think can actually change our body and our health. So it is very conceivable that you can say, I am cancer-free. I am cancer-free.
Mm-hmm.
I am pain-free. And that it can actually happen. I worked on a woman yesterday. I did a series. In fact, I've created a new healing system that I teach at ARE, and actually it's not new because Edgar Cayce talked about the same thing years ago, and then I was stunned when I found out that I was doing the same thing. But I combine hands-on healing and the power of the mind, and I think it's the ultimate in mind-body healing. So I was working with this gal even yesterday and just giving her suggestions, and she had these muscles were so tight that she used to be a gymnast. And her muscles were so tight that she couldn't even touch her knees.
Yes.
And she just came back yesterday. I just saw her 3 days later, and she could almost touch her ankles.
Mm.
And she couldn't believe it. That was just from a series of, hands-on and some positive suggestions that your body, your muscles are returning to normal, healthy functioning. So there's a lot of physical therapeutic applications. Now, one of the main things is stress reduction. And, they say about at least 90% of all disease is stress-related. We have such stressful, lifestyles these days. And that's one of the things that it cuts down on. Even the World Health Organization says that stress is one of the things that hypnosis is acknowledged as being very helpful doing.
Stress can hurt your immune system. It can hurt your blood pressure and... Also, for psychological issues like OCD, it can make that worse.
Absolutely. I mean, stress and your emotions, as Edgar Cayce said, anger is an illness, really, because if you have anger, chances anger or, hatred or any of those, strong negative emotions, it's a very strong possibility that you will get sick. And, I mean, he was ahead of his game yet again, because now they have a whole a science built up around it called psychoimmunology. And so really what we think and what we feel totally affects our body, whether it's positive or negative. And you're absolutely right. It's really important to change those things.
Well, now with the gymnast, were you using your new revolutionary healing technique?
Well, yes, I was. And there's two aspects to that. The first is actually the power of the mind, and using the power of the mind to create affirmations for yourself, to actually do the hypnosis for yourself. The second thing is hands-on healing. So I was actually doing that yesterday. I do teach those workshops and those classes.
Oh, wow. So you'll be teaching that at the conference coming up at the ARE, the New Year's conference.
Well, I think we won't have time to do the hands-on healing portion, but we will be talking about, you know, our New Year's resolutions.
We'll be right back with more with Dr. Barbara Lane on Reflections. You're listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. We're back with Barbara Lane, Ph.D.
Do you know how we always do that? We make our New Year's resolutions. We say every year, okay, we're going to lose 10 pounds, and we're going to stop smoking, and we're going to meditate every day, and we're going to organize our lives, and we're going to do these things. And then, you know, we fall off the wagon.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, I've often thought that, you know, these weight loss clinics, the one component that they miss, you know, the one component that they really miss is the subconscious mind, dealing with the subconscious. And if they would only have that one component, then people would actually end up believing, they'd end up believing that they can make the changes, and they would actually make the permanent changes. So we're going to be working with the power of the mind and how people can actually really tap into the subconscious and what are their goals, and focus on the goals, and then actually people will walk away with their own ability to do this for themselves.
Well, speaking of the subconscious mind, I've always wondered, I guess maybe it takes extra effort to align the subconscious mind with what our goals are. How does the subconscious mind work? Is it like a simpler version of us? I'm not sure. I've always wondered, what's the nature of the subconscious mind?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I'm not sure I know the answer to that. I just feel it's a vast, untapped territory. It's like going into the unknown. And I think that's why I'm fascinated with it, because we don't know a lot of answers about it. But I think in a way you're right. It is a simpler version of ourselves. It is, perhaps you could say, it's our higher selves. So when we're really tapping in, and the more we get aligned with our higher selves, the more we really, maybe life does simplify, because the closer we are on course to our spiritual goals, to our higher self, the closer we are to our path, and the easier it is. You know, I always kind of think of it as, although I don't sail, I understand that sailors, they tack. They don't go in a straight line, but they go to one side, and they go to the other side, and then, you know, they go back and forth.
Oh, yes.
And so, but I think the closer we are in alignment to our higher selves, or even you might want to say our subconscious or our superconscious, I think the closer we are, you know, we don't tack as far, we don't go out as extremely and then come back to balance. We're much more in alignment, we're much more in balance. So the moves are smaller, and we're much more aligned. And like you said, we are attuned with our higher selves, and our goals, our true goals, our true spiritual goals, really.
Oh, wow. Well, how are these concepts aligned with Edgar Cayce's beliefs?
Well, I think they're aligned in every way. I think he was way ahead of the mind-body medicine. He was way ahead of all of these things, because he said, first of all, he said, mind is the builder. Mind is the builder. And that's the basis to a lot of this hypnosis, to go back in and really talk to the subconscious mind. He was very much into being aware of the subconscious mind. The second thing is one of the other things that's very obvious to me is about emotions. He was aware, under hypnosis, during his own trance state, that the emotional system impacted our health to such a high degree, long before all of these studies and long before the psychoimmunology popped up. And he also saw the connection between the mind and the body. And thirdly, I thought, I, like I said, I was stunned when, you know, I was doing this, you know, combining these healings, the hands-on healing and the power of the mind, or the power of the voice healing. He said, voice healing is extremely powerful, especially when in a, you know, almost when you're going to sleep, or that could be at like a hypnosis stage. He said that that was highly powerful. So he was aware of the power of the voice, the power of the word. Even in the Bible it says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And they say, you know, the most important, even they call God, I am that I am. And they say that the two most powerful words that we can say are I am. Because if we say, I am fat, I am thin, I am dumb, I am smart, we are actually creating ourselves in that image. We are creating it. So I am are the two most powerful words. So he was aware of the power of the word. He was aware of the state of hypnosis. He talked about these things. He was aware of hands-on healing. He was aware of combining all of these. He was aware of the emotions. So he was way, way ahead of the new thought here in the Western world.
Hmm.
And,
wow.
I have to say, I'm very excited to say that when Edgar Cayce, how he got into getting into the trance state and doing all his channeling was he himself went to a hypnotherapist, a hypnosis person, for he had a voice problem. Hmm. And his voice was healed by going to that hypnotherapist. And that hypnotherapist, his name was Dr. Lane, and I love that. So, you know, of course, I've wanted to hypnotize the Cayces before for an Atlantis book. And I said, well, but, you know, Edgar Cayce was hypnotized by Dr. Lane.
Mm-hmm.
He did believe in hypnosis, and even in his trance state, he would give an affirmation for himself about healing his throat. Now, in that state, you cannot... when you're in hypnosis, you can't give yourself your own statements, because mm-hmm. that's going into your conscious side. That's why I suggest people make a CD. But he would have the affirmation, and then he would have Gladys or someone read that statement back to him, and then they actually literally saw him improve it right after the affirmation was given. So he was highly into all of these modalities.
Hmm. Well, so then, if someone's trying to give themselves an affirmation, is it better to say it rather than think it?
You know, that's a very good question, and people have asked me, should I say it out loud? And I guess I'd have to say the answer would be yes, because, you know, thinking is one modality, but the power of the word is yet another. And so I think you're incorporating the power of the word. I do actually think it is more powerful.
Hmm. Wow. So then...
because it's a vibration. And also I'm beginning to think that when you do the hands-on healing and you incorporate the power of the word, there's something about the power of the word that actually solidifies or grounds the healing. That's my own personal thought. I can't prove that to you, but I feel intuitively that that's the case.
So then you have people for self-hypnosis, they do need to record themselves and play that back.
Yes. First of all, of course, if they have been hypnotized, they can already, you know, most therapists will give them a suggestion so that they can get back into that state. And, of course, they can go back into that state and think or visualize what it is they want. But if they can actually make themselves a CD, which they can, that's what I teach them how to do in my class. Of course, I could put myself out of business here, but anyway, I like to do that for people because it's empowering. It's totally empowering. Then they have kind of the best of all worlds. They get to hear it over and over, and they can really, truly get into that relaxed state.
Hmm.
You know, one thing I think is really powerful, and, you know, I didn't actually talk about all the therapeutic effects of hypnosis on the body, but one thing I truly, truly urge, in fact, when we had the new healthcare bill coming in, mm-hmm. and at Center for Integrative Medicine, President Obama asked the Center for Integrative Medicine and other communities like that to give suggestions about the healthcare. And, you know, my one suggestion, I said, please put this in the report. I don't know if they did do it, but I said, please, we could save billions of dollars just doing this one thing, and it's totally a huge, huge impact on people. I said, please put in there that everybody who goes in the hospital, everybody who has a surgery, has a CD, you know, a hypnosis CD. And, you know, it is just amazing the effects of when people have a hypnosis CD and they listen to it in the hospital before and after surgery. Aside from, of course, some people in countries have used it as anesthesia, they found that when people listen to a CD before and after surgery, they're less anxious, their pain is lowered, the medications are less, the costs are less. I mean, think of the money we could save. I mean, on a larger level, it reduces the blood loss, it reduces inflammation, it lessens nausea after surgery, it accelerates the healing. In other words, people get out quicker, they heal quicker, they have less pain. So,
Wow.
I mean, and it's very, very, it would be very inexpensive for everybody, or if they know how to do it themselves, of course, they could do it themselves.
I'm going to go ahead and ask, because I know a lot of people are wondering if they can contact you online, or, you know, go to a website where they can find out more.
Absolutely. My email is BarbaraLane1, the number 1, at AOL.com. And I do have a website, BarbaraLane.com. And also, I do have some CDs on a Lulu website.
Mm-hmm.
Lulu is L-U-L-U, Lulu.com / BarbaraLane1. I've got different CDs about You Deserve to Be Happy and Magnetizing a Lifetime Mate and Creating Your Life and Being Fit and Trim for Life and things like that. Career effectiveness, healthy well-being, things like that. So I do have some topics already covered. And one that I did was for people who were trying to have a baby. And sometimes they have actually proven that sometimes hypnosis helps. You know, if they're having trouble, because perhaps even one thing is it could help to relax people.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So that's lulu.com/BarbaraLane1.
Yes.
Now, what about past life regressions and their healing effect?
Well, past life regressions is another one of my favorite topics. You use the same hypnosis. You use hypnosis to get into the subconscious mind. So you're working in the subconscious mind. And whether people believe in past lives or not, as long as they're open to the experience, it's an amazing effect of healing. I've heard so many different people tell me things from losing weight to there was a woman, I could just tell you a million stories. There was a woman who, this is quite tragic actually, but she had a child who had run out in front of a car and died in this lifetime. And she went back to another lifetime where actually a similar experience had happened, where she was living on some kind of an island or something with water surrounding her. And her child in that lifetime ran out into the water, and she ran after the child and couldn't save the child. So it was very tragic.
We'll be right back with more with Dr. Barbara Lane. You're listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. Let's continue our conversation with Dr. Barbara Lane.
Her child in that lifetime ran out into the water, and she ran after the child and couldn't save the child. So it was very tragic. But the upshot of it was, or the reason she went back to that lifetime, was she had this medical illness or something that doctors didn't really know what it was. And, you know, it's funny, when she came into the workshop, I did notice that she came in with a walker, but then during the course of the workshop, I did not notice that she didn't come back later. She came back later without the walker, you know, until she said, "I think a miracle happened." And, you know, of course, you know, when you hear that, your ears perk up, you go, "Oh, could you tell the class?" You know? And so, she told us the story, and she told us that, you know, there were a problem with her legs and she couldn't sit very long. And she said at night, there'd be this tingling on her feet, almost like she was walking on something, like stones, for example. And nobody could tell her, no doctor could tell her what the cause was or how to resolve it or anything. And she realized that it was when she went there, she was walking on those rocks. And she said after she resolved it, and I'm sure there was a degree of guilt and sadness, you know, she had to let go of, forgive herself for, you know, the sadness of losing the child. Then those sensations went away. So it was really, you know, I just hear things like that all the time.
Wow.
The concept of past lives, past life regression therapy, it's fascinating, infinitely fascinating, because each story is different. You know, each story is so personal to each person. But the thing is, it's so healing because you're going back to the root causes and healing them. That's what I like about hypnosis. You can go back to the root causes, not just heal the symptoms, you know, like in the physical body, you know, what we see, you know, when we have an illness is the symptom. And it's really actually going back to the root causes and healing them. And a lot of times the root causes are in past lives. So
wow.
It's just a wonderful, wonderful modality, aside from the fact that it's fascinating.
Oh, yes. Well, how is this being accepted by the mainstream medical model?
Well, you know, it actually, even past lives are becoming more accepted. You know, at Center for Integrative Medicine, occasionally I get somebody who comes in and asks for one. I don't usually mention it unless I think they're very interested or it's very obvious to me. Like a woman came in and she was pencil thin. I mean, she was razor thin. She looked like a Holocaust victim, I swear. I said, she's got to be a Holocaust victim from a past life. And so obviously she was bulimic in this lifetime. So she did go back into a past life where she was a Holocaust victim. And sometimes it could be that they feel guilty eating anything. You know, it could be something like that. So it is becoming more accepted. Even some of the med students asked me to do a past life for them. So I think this is good because when we get doctors thinking, the young new doctors thinking like this, then we know it's really creeping into mainstream. And I do think that hypnosis itself is really, you know, getting into mainstream hospitals. They're aware of it as stress reduction, lowering the blood pressure, just as you said, pain management. It's known for pain management now because when you're in a state of hypnosis, it affects a certain area of your brain where the pain is controlled. So that's being used for pain medication. It's been used for childbirth and helping to balance the autoimmune system, and of course we know things like the smoking, that's, you know, the obvious stuff we all know. But they're doing more and more studies in the hospitals now, and that's what I really like, because now, you know, a lot of us have known these things for a long time intuitively, but now that we're having studies, they've done studies on burns and MS and Parkinson's and IBS. We have a lot of clients with IBS because it's probably stress-related. And so that seems to work, hypnosis seems to work very well for IBS and asthma, fibromyalgia, skin conditions, insomnia. It's great for insomnia. Phobias, it's really good for phobias. It's good for so many things. I think in the future, it's not going to be, you know, so much what is it good for, but what isn't it good for? I think they're, as they do more and more studies, they're going to find that it's good for every, you know, I think it's good for just about every area of your life. It's good for your golf game, which I have to constantly remind myself because, you know, I'm constantly struggling with that. And people say, you should know better, you know, you got to think positive. So I get it back, you know, but it's good. I really believe that it's good for practically every area of our life and that we can. And, you know, say if we are in the hospital, and I think it's a totally disempowering situation where we feel totally helpless a lot of times, you know, kind of at the mercy of the system and the doctors and what's going to happen next. And, and, you know, I personally think that hypnosis, if you're just lying there, you can do something. You can take control. You can do something. You can, like you say, you can visualize yourself well. You can, you know, tell yourself these things. You can relax and put yourself into these states and do these things. So it's not about losing control. It's about gaining control. And that's what I like about it. And it's very empowering. It's so empowering. Even in a hospital when you couldn't do anything else, you know, you can really take some control about your health and your life.
Wow. Well, what will hypnosis be used for in the future?
Well, like I said, the more studies I think the question is not what it's going to be used for, but I think it's going to be just almost a limitless approach as it becomes more mainstream because people are becoming, you know, people who haven't been exposed to hypnosis are amazed at the results a lot of times. And it's, like I said, it's very shortcut. It's very shortcut therapy. In fact, in World War II, it became popular in the United States and Britain as shortcut therapy for the vets returning from war. So I think in the future it's not going to be so much what it you know, what it can be used for, but what can't it be used for? I think those are the questions people are going to be asking more. I even have an idea that I've had for a long time that I'd really like to implement sometime. And, you know, like I said, how we could save so much money for the medical system. Mm-hmm. I really, truly, truly believe that we could bring up the test scores of all the students, you know, very simply by just doing hypnosis for them, like a hypnosis CD for everybody, and also talk about self-esteem. If you could do this and motivation, you know, for the kids when they're young, I mean, just think of the potential they could have and the baggage they could get rid of at such a young age, and that I do believe they could raise the whole level of the school system just simply with that. I mean, I'd love to be able to be in on that. You know, I have a lot of ideas, but it's hard to implement all of them.
Oh, yes? Wow.
But anyway, I truly believe that.
Hmm. Well, now, you've done regressions on a Civil War battlefield. What was that like?
Oh, that was a lot of fun. I've written three books and published by ARE, and the first one was called Echoes from the Battlefield. And I was doing a lot of research. In fact, I hypnotically regressed these Civil War reenactors to take them back to their lifetimes in the Civil War. So then, as a result of the study, and then I did a lot of studying to find that all of the information was 100% historically accurate. And I had a Civil War historian helping me, and so, you know, word got out. And then at one point I was asked to be part of the program, actually, of the, I think it was the 135th anniversary of the Battle of Gettysburg. So I was at Gettysburg, and I was dressed I had my hoop skirt and my whole Civil War, outfit on. And believe me, they're very authentic. Their uniforms are so authentic now these days that they used to be just JCPenney's pants, you know, blue or gray. And now they're so authentic that, you know, the historians in the future will barely be able to tell the difference between these new uniforms and the old real, authentic ones.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, so had the, you know, honor really to regress a whole group of people right at the battle. Well, not right at the battlefield, but right near the battlefield, during the whole exercise. And it was really exciting. So it was kind of funny that, you know, some of the people were sitting on bales of hay, and usually it is a little better if you can, you know, get a little bit more relaxed than that. And one guy was even trying to do it standing up because he didn't want to mess up his uniform.
Hmm.
And I thought, oh my goodness, this is going to be a real challenge, because down below there were cannons going off and horses and thousands of people and noise. And then there were TV cameras and everything. I thought, oh my goodness, I hope people, you know, can do this with all this noise going on. But they did great. They came up with, you know, real amazing stories it's been a whole real fascinating experience to delve into the Civil War. I've learned a lot. I felt like I was a reporter, which I have been in this lifetime too, a reporter, but I felt like I was a reporter running along, you know, interviewing them as they're, you know, shooting and dying and, you know, the fear and everything. It was just, it's really a wonderful way to experience history. Even the Civil War historian said that. He said everybody should have this experience. It's just an amazing experience. He said it was so real, he couldn't believe it.
Interesting.
And so accurate, by the way.
Well, you've also dealt with regressions with the Middle Ages. Could you tell us about that?
Yeah, I did the same thing. Actually, I did this for studies. I was working on a metaphysical PhD. Since my mom said, you know, gee, you've taken so many metaphysical classes your whole life, you could have a degree. And I said, of course, I think she was thinking of me getting a more traditional degree, a master's or a PhD or whatever. And I said, yeah, great idea, Mom, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was working on these topics, because to me it was a no-brainer that this reenactor, when I first saw these reenactors, that, you know, that this was a past life connection.
We'll be right back. You're listening to Reflections, The Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. We're back with Barbara Lane, Ph.D.
To me, it was a no-brainer that this reenactor, when I first saw these reenactors, that, you know, that this was a past life connection. Why were they doing it? What was the motivation?
Hmm.
So anyway, yes, I did the Civil War reenactors because I moved to Virginia, and I was a history major originally, and saw them doing this. And then after I completed the Civil War time frame, I did work on the medieval time frame. I took medieval reenactors, SCA, Society for Creative Anachronism, a group of people who reenact, and then I also went to the Renaissance festivals and took some of the people from the Renaissance festivals. And I thought it'd be real clever to do the Renaissance, because I thought, oh, this is great. I won't be able to track down the names, because that was quite a trick. It took me a couple of years to do that at the archives. You know, if one person's name or unit, you know, say if they were going by their middle name, you know, and which they called each other a lot, they were going by their middle name, or maybe they transposed a unit from 18th Virginia to 81st Virginia. It'd be really hard to track them down. But anyway, so I thought, this is going to be easy, because I'll just go to the Middle Ages. You won't be able to track the names down. But then that became huge in a way, because there were so many specialties, like 12th century French swords, you know, that you had to get a specialist in 12th century French swords to see if what they said was accurate. But I did have a historian from Georgetown University who looked at the information and said that she thought there was pretty accurate information that came forward in the regressions. And that was another completely fascinating experience for me, to jump into the Middle Ages and the Renaissance period and get exposed to all of that history and all the reenactors who just, you know, were so into it that they get married in their outfits and they really live, eat, and breathe this stuff. So it's quite an experience. It's really quite a way to learn about history.
Wow. Well, what was your most interesting regression?
Oh my gosh. You know, it's funny. When people ask me that, I always think it's the last one I just did, because they're all so interesting. And even a lot of the lives can seem somewhat boring, like we're on a farm and we don't see too many people and we don't do very much in that lifetime compared to, you know, all the stimuli we have today. But, you know, but it's real. It's a real experience. And those are real feelings and real thoughts. And that's what we are doing at the moment. And so, it's amazing that practically every single time, no matter what the lifetime is, it is so relevant to the person and what they're going through at the moment. And so I find that very fascinating, that it correlates so much to their current life. And so I just have to say that, you know, the last one I've done is always the most interesting one. That
wow.
Every single one, no matter if they're not flashy, and a lot of times that's when you can really say, yep, that's a real one. Why would people have made that one up, you know? But I think that it's always the next one you're doing or the last one you've done, because, you know, it's interesting how each person has their own twist. Every single one is different, and there's different circumstances, different relationships, and different correlations to their current lives. And so really, ultimately, when you talk about motivation and why people do what they do, I mean, past lives are a big part of that, because it could be, you know, why we marry who we marry, what career we go into, why we live where we live. It might answer a lot of questions for us, you know, talk about motivation. And a lot of this is subconscious. We may not even know that on a conscious level.
Well, this is a lot of information. Thanks for talking to us about all these things, and thanks for coming on the show.
Well, thanks very much for having me.
And now here's a conference update. From December 29th to the 31st, it's the annual New Year's Conference, Spiritual Resolutions, Keeping Our Soul's Promises. From January 28th to the 29th, Kabbalah, a Resource for Soulful Living. To find out more about conferences, go to edgarcasey.org. Click on Events, and click on Conferences. Now it's time for the Thought for the Day. And today's Thought for the Day will be read by Kimberly Rose, who has a new CD out titled Developing Your Intuition. She also has a new class about spiritual frequency that helps people to move into the moment. You can find out more at kimmyrose.com. That's KimmyRose.com. Well, hello.
Hello.
And what is today's Thought for the Day?
Today's Thought for the Day is reading 12:04:3. For know that each soul constantly meets its own self. No problem may be run away from. Meet it now. And I love this, because I I believe that this is true now in this time, even, you know, more than ever, that there's this veil, very thin veil, where we're meeting ourselves. And I always tell my children, I say, you know what? When you wake up in the morning, when you look in the mirror, you face yourself. You know, you can be if you're dishonest with others, the truth is you have to look at yourself in the mirror, because you are always there, and your soul feels that frequency of love and knows you will feel it. You can't turn away from yourself, and no problem can run away from you, because it is there with you. And if you need it, you grow.
Yes, if you run away from a problem, it follows you at the same speed that you're running away from it.
Yes.
Oh, yes. And I guess part of our mind, we might, if we have to deal with a problem, even if it's small, if you're working on a project and you ask for an extension, I mean, you have to eventually do that project. And it's a lot easier if you do it right away, if you accomplish that task earlier, because there's that worry that's in the back of your mind. You think you're separating yourself from the problem or running away, but it's right there and your subconscious knows it and it's not going to forget. So you do have to face that at some time, and it's better if you do it now, like the reading says.
Yes, always right now. And that's, well, you know what? That's all we are, is in the now, really. We can say we're going to deal with it tomorrow or the next day, but it's always the now when we deal with it. And the closer we are to the present, the more we expand our consciousness and live in our truth.
That's kind of like Buddhism.
Yes.
That's a lot to think about.
Goodness. It's being mindful.
Thanks for the thought for the day today.
Thank you.
That's all the time we have for the show today. Thanks to Dr. Barbara Lane for talking to us. Don't forget to check out her book, 16 Clues to Your Past Lives, A Guide to Discovering Who You Were. This book is available at the ARE Catalog at arecatalog.com. Thanks also to Kimberly Rose for the thought for the day. And thanks most of all to you, the listener. Thanks for listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce.